With the conservative accounting Disney used to calculate Katzenberg's annual bonus, he was earning a significant amount. Over $10 million in total compensation in 1991. The 2% lifetime annuity that Eisner and Wells thought wouldn't amount to anything when they included it in Katzenberg's original contract in lieu of stock options was beginning to look substantial, so much so that Katzenberg wondered just what it might be worth. After all, he did have the option to leave in 1994. In April, Arthur Emel, Katzenberg's lawyer, wrote Disney asking for the amount of his bonus under the 2% formula. The letter was meant to satisfy his curiosity, but also to drive the point home to Eisner and Wells that Katzenberg's departure would be costly. Wells, of course, was well aware of the soaring value of Katzenberg's interest, thanks to the ongoing Project Snowball. According to an internal Disney document labeled Project Snowball, Privileged and Confidential, calculations were made for two scenarios, one in which Katzenberg left in 1994, the other if he stayed until 1996. For a 1994 termination, Katzenberg would receive $169.4 million. In 1996, $194.6 million. But instead, Katzenberg received a letter from Joe Santaniello, one of Disney's in-house lawyers, which took the startling position, startling to Katzenberg at any rate, that Katzenberg wasn't entitled to any bonus if he exercised his option to leave in 1994, 2 years before the expiration of his contract. Katzenberg took the letter straight to Wells and said that he assumed there had been some misunderstanding. He reminded Wells that Wells had been the one who pushed to include the bonus provision, that Katzenberg hadn't been willing to give it up when they negotiated his new contract in 1988, and that he was sure that Wells would put things right. Wells said he'd look into the matter and get back to him. In the meantime, Katzenberg was busy negotiating a deal to buy Miramax, an independent production company named after the parents of the two brothers who founded it, Harvey and Bob Weinstein. Bill Mechanic set up a dinner with the Weinsteins and Katzenberg at the Cannes Film Festival in 1992, though he worried that Katzenberg might be put off by the brothers' appearance, especially Harvey, who chain-smoked, was overweight, and sometimes disheveled. The Weinsteins were showing their movie, Serafina, a musical starring Whoopi Goldberg as an apartheid-era schoolteacher, and Mechanic stressed to Katzenberg that the Weinsteins had incredible taste, despite appearances. As soon as he met them, Katzenberg embraced the idea of extending Disney's reach by acquiring Miramax. The Weinsteins needed capital. At the time, they were producing just 10% of their films, acquiring distribution rights to the rest after others produced them. Of course, there were risks to the Disney brand. Miramax's biggest critical and commercial success, The Crying Game, featured a transsexual. Again, Katzenberg pressed his case to Wells, who was initially skeptical, afraid that the Weinsteins would simply take the money and retire, as he put it to him. But with plenty of incentives for the Weinsteins built into their contract, Wells was persuaded, and Eisner agreed. Maybe Miramax could salvage the live-action film roster. Disney was able to buy Miramax for $60 million plus the assumption of debt, which amounted to about $40 million more. The Crying Game alone had earned $63 million. For their part, the Weinsteins had financing commitments and, more important, contractual guarantees of independence.